I think this is my favourite psalm, but I may have said that before. You are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I'll praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I'll be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. This psalm is a psalm of King David, and he is expressing both his longing to know God more, his soul feels dry, and also how much he loves God. Your love is better than life. David has this incredible desire to know God more. How is your desire for God? Does this psalm ring true for you? Either in the seeking or in the knowing. The seeking to know God more or the knowing that God's love is better than life. How is your desire for God? I understand that in our lives, we have ups and downs. In all relationships, that's true. Sometimes we feel close, sometimes we feel far, sometimes hot, sometimes cold. But at its foundation, how is your desire for God? Through time and all your experience, have you found that as you've gone on in faith, you are seeking God more? Is that what you find? That you have an earnestness, a desperation, which I think comes through. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. That as you get older in faith, you get thirstier for more of God. Is that what you're finding? Do you know what it's like to be in a desert? And when you're in those times of dryness and barrenness, do you feel grief and pain about it? An uncomfortableness, an unsettledness, a desperation even, that things might change. That if you were distant from God, that you're not satisfied with that distance and you want to close the gap between what you know God offers you and your experience. Are you finding that as you get older in faith, you're having a richer, deeper love for God? That knowing God feels like a gift. It's this a credible surprise that you never earned, never deserved. Are you finding as you get older in faith that you have more peace? That when distressing times come and things don't make sense, that actually you have this peace that scriptures say passes understanding. It's not because there isn't worry in your life. In fact, it's because there is worry that you know that there's peace. Or joy. Do you have a joy in your life? Just this gladness and thankfulness that God has blessed you incredibly and shown so much kindness. And as you wake up and look at each day, you feel like every day is a gift to you from God. David's greatest desire is God. His greatest joy is God. Your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I'll lift up my hands. I'll be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. He uses this lovely image of incredibly rich, desirable food that he says, I want to want you like that, God. This week I spent some time with some friends, some pastors. And one of them loves rich foods. So he brought the richest of foods. He brought this Wagyu, is that Wagyu? I've never heard of this stuff before. But it tasted unbelievable. He told me it was like $95 a kilogram for grade 5. You go up to $140 a kilo for a grade. I don't even understand what that all means. But that's a lot of money. He brought out this wine. I did write it down somewhere. I've never heard of this before. Ruskin 2009 Shiraz. Supposedly unbelievable. And when I tasted it, it was. It was the richest of foods. And David says, God is, I want to love you like we love this rich delicacy. We're never spending, sorry kids, but we are never spending that amount of money on our daily bread. But I want to love you, God, like this extraordinary food. I want to enjoy you, God. I want to desire you, God. I want to hunger for more when I've had the thin slice of the wagyu, or however you say it, steak. This Thanksgiving month, we are reflecting on five seeds of growth that will, God willing, produce life in our church. And the first seed that we are looking at is joy. That in our church we will enjoy God, people, and life. Romans 11:36 says this, "For from him and through him and for him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen." For from him and through him seem reasonable, don't they? Because God has made us. We're from him. We understand how through him all things are made. But Paul tells us that we are also made for him. We're made for God. We're made for his glory. We're made for his joy. We're made for him. The Westminster Catechism says it this way. What is the chief end of man? My Presbyterian wife could answer this. Not so much anymore. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We are made for God. We are made to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. John Piper puts it this way with a little twist. He says, our primary purpose is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. We're made for God and we're made to glorify him and enjoy him. Is not, you think, enjoying someone one of the highest compliments you can give them? What do you like about your friends, your family, your spouse? You could say, well, they're handy, they're intelligent, they're funny, we have common interests. They like power, I like the Crows, we like to fight. But how about this? What do you like about your family and your friends? I enjoy them. I enjoy them. Your spouse. What do you love about your spouse? Sure, they're beautiful and handsome and can lift heavy things, but I enjoy them. Is that not the highest compliment? One of the highest compliments you could pay someone. I enjoy them. I want to remind us that God gave his own son so that we would know not how to work harder, be better. Jesus put it this way, I have come so that you might have life and life to the full. God sent his own son because he loves us and he wants us to know great joy. God gave his son because he enjoys you. He loves you. You are worth rescuing. You to him, you are a precious, enjoyable, delightful person. And God gave his son, as we've heard, so that we might enjoy him. We might love him and enjoy him. Matt Jacoby puts it really well when he says that God seeks our enjoyment rather than just our obedience. God seeks our enjoyment rather than just our obedience. It's not enough to know about God, how much he forgave you. He wants you to enjoy him. To love being with him. To love who he is. To be full of joy. Doesn't that sound attractive? A life full of joy sounds so attractive. Especially when we feel like we're in a joyless world. But I don't know about you, I've found enjoying God and even life a real challenge. Paul says in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. He has to repeat himself. Isn't that strange? He has other things he goes on to say, but he only says this one twice. It's like even in the first century, they struggled to have joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. In a life full of demand and stress, how is your joy going? I think we have to be told more than once, enjoy life, enjoy people, enjoy God. And that's truer, sadly, of church life as anything else. I get asked quite a lot, how is your church going? And this is what, you could try this on for size, Miranda, in the future as you're going through all this, because people will definitely ask you that. How is your church going? Try saying this, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. That's not easy to say, I'll be honest with you. It's not because any one of you are a pain. Some of you might be, but not the whole bang lot of you. But there is a lot going on in a church life. Yeah, you know, we got your money to deal with, your property to deal with. You got pastoral issues. You got your own soul that you're busy contending with because your own insecurities. It's not easy. I'm enjoying it. How is your church going? Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I think we feel the duty in church life. The things need to be done, rosters need to be filled, but we can struggle to find delight. Joy. So when we talk about this first seed of growth, that in our church we enjoy God, people and life, it's first because it probably is the highest call on us. And it's also first because I think it's one of the most challenging demands to find joy, to find joy as a church. What would it take for that to ring true? That we would have joy with God, people and life. Well, we could talk, couldn't we, about, you know, we need to take time, don't rush, get off your devices, be present to people, especially the people we love. We could talk about all those things. Talk about finding, you know, for some of us who live life like this, putting time in your schedule for fun. Isn't that weird that some of us have to put time in our schedule for fun? I mentor a year seven and it's school. And what, one of the things I was like, tell me what you like in school. You don't like anything. And there's a number one reason why he doesn't like anything. Because the most important thing for him is fun. And nothing in school is fun as far as he is concerned. So he's got fun as number one. And then you get old and big and grumpy. And now I'm having to go, oh, find time for that rock climbing thing that I enjoy. Craziness, isn't it? We could talk all about that, about your diaries and how you prioritize all that. But why don't we start with the source of all real joy, which is God, which is what David is seeking. God seeks our enjoyment rather than just our obedience. Back to that question, how is your desire? Do you enjoy God? And if you are not there, could you be like David, which is thirsty for more, hungry for rich food in God, seeking him so that you might be fully satisfied in him? Now, if that sounds super spiritual, I want you to notice something. Today, if you're a dad, you might be sitting at the lunch table, and around you will be gathered some people. Granted, it's Father's Day, so they're all doing it because they have to. But around you will be gathered some people who say they love you. And there'll be little, maybe for some of you, little grandkids running around. And as you're holding your Ruskin 2009 Shiraz because somebody bought that for you, and you're sipping it and looking out at all these people, at that point, what are you doing? You're enjoying them. And for those of you who do this, what do you do at that point? Do you not kind of sit back and, wow, God, I am so blessed? Or after the church today, if you hang around and you're talking to somebody and you feel like you finally went past the trivial and the polite and you're really connected to somebody and somebody listened to you and you listened to them and you're like, that was a seriously great conversation. You're enjoying them. Or you're sitting late at night, the sun goes down, it's this amazing sunset, which I think in Adelaide we get a heck of a lot of. We just get sunset after sunset after sunset, amazing sunsets, and you sit there and you go, that is flipping fantastic. Thank you, God, for that. Or you're driving along with a worship CD playing, or your Spotify, and this lyric moves your heart, and it kind of catches in your throat, because it connected with right where you are at that point. And you find yourself just going, yeah, I needed that, God. Can you see how, in all these points of life, which are so rich and enjoyable, and they're mostly ordinary. They can range from having breakfast in the morning and listening to the buzz of your house, to coming home at night and having a little 8-year-old treat you like you're the most important person in the world. And there's only one person she wants to hug and kiss. All these moments that are made for you to enjoy. And as you enjoy them, do you notice what happens to our heart? Is we thank God for them. We actually enjoy God. God's given us this life which is blessed and rich and lived, to be lived to the full, fully enjoyed. And all we have to do is receive it with thanksgiving. That doesn't sound super spiritual to me, does it? That you and I, as the people of God, could live a life of eyes wide open to the blessing and the richness and the grace and the kindness and the goodness and the unbelievable generosity of our God. I heard in a friend of mine yesterday, we were talking through the challenge of their daughter who has a disability, quite a debilitating disability, and very challenging for this family. And what I was fascinated to notice, that as people of faith, they recounted how hard it is. And then they said to each other and to me, they said, you know what? But in the midst of all that, we are so blessed. There are so many funny moments, so many special things, so many incredible blessings. And also, we're not going out the door to cart in our water. They just kept talking about how good their life is. I want to tell you right now, I have four kids. And our four kids are not as demanding as that one. They enjoyed God in the midst of that challenge. That's all we have to do, I think. Is not put our heads down and live it as if it's a duty and a struggle and a trial. Look up and give thanks to this God who has given us so many rich things to be in joy. Our church is, we've been working hard. We've been working really hard. And we hope into the future that God will produce even more fruit. But let's not forget that we are here to enjoy God, people and life in all we do. Let me pray. So, our God, you are an enjoyable God. You alone are enjoyable. In all your glory and all your grace. And you've been so kind to bless us with this world that we live in, the people we live among, the labor and the effort that we have in our hands. You've been so kind to bless us with these things to be in joy. So may we enjoy you. Enjoy the people we live with and the life you have given. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm just going to close with communion today. And